Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Grand Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Molly and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now on the hotline presented by Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Biggsy!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you've got it all, Brad. You've got all the stories. I mean, goodness gracious, you'll find out that the Fire Nagy chant actually found its way to Champaign yesterday and broke out during the Illinois Notre Dame basketball game. So, you know, that's the Blackhawks, that's the Bulls, that's now college basketball. We saw it in high school football. I mean, it's getting to a point that even as the coach can remain optimistic about everything, and even if Eddie Jackson tells you not to, people are chanting that.
Yeah, it's all over the place, although I certainly would not want to rely on the fine folks in Champaign to hire a football coach, because they've proven to be pretty poor in that selection process over the years.
Oh, I love that. Wow. I love you open the door. Biggs walked right through. Take a shot. Take a shot.
Was that at Lovie or Brett Bielema? What is that?
Both.
Okay.
Who was the guy before Lovie? What was that guy's name?
We used the word Oscar.
They were mediocre under Ron Zook, and they haven't competed for anything since they had Ron Turner. So I'm sure input's welcome from everywhere, but my goodness, they can't pick a football coach in Champaign.
Awesome. I love Big Ten thoughts from Brad Biggs. Look, Brad, yesterday, correct me if I'm wrong, it sounded like Matt Nagy was describing the toughness of Justin Fields in a way that prepared everybody maybe to see Justin Fields on Sunday. Are you leaning more in that direction than the other way after hearing what the head coach had to say on Monday?
I've always thought, you know, when they attached that day-to-day tag to it last week, that I felt like, hey, with that extra time after the Lions game, there's probably a good chance that you see him. I mean, any fighting chance that Matt Nagy and his coaching staff has to remain, it hinges on the rookie quarterback being able to go out there and look dynamic, right? And when I say dynamic, I mean, you know, close to 300 yards or more, multiple touchdowns, rushing yards, leading them to an upset win over a team that right now sits number one in the NFC and playoff positioning, the Arizona Cardinals at 9-2. Arizona guys, 5-0 on the road this season.
Yeah, they're obviously having a great year, and they have even without J.J. Watt, they have a ferocious pass rush, and the Bears are, I believe, the most sacked team in the league. They've allowed the most sacks. Now they've been playing better of late, and Tevin Jenkins right around the corner. maybe not this week, but right around the corner, he's definitely going to be put on the roster, right? They're going to probably take a look at him. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that Tevin Jenkins will be on a 53-man roster before the game kicks off against the Cardinals at noon on Sunday. The question then becomes, you know, is there some type of way to get his feet wet in game action before you even think about maybe starting him? You know, is he on your field goal team? Do you have some goal line package, some jumbo goal line package where he's out there? That's also a possibility, you know, because when you look at Jason Peters, and they've been very complimentary of the job Jason's done, I have to think that for a guy like that, getting ready to play at age 39 in week 13, week 14, et cetera, is probably even more challenging for him than it was in week 3 and week 4, you know, as the season kind of wears on your body. So I don't know where they'll look for that slot to slide Tevin Jenkins in as a starter if that occasion arises here in the final six games. But you wonder how much more Peters can be out there. He's given him clearly everything he's got, but we'll just have to see how he holds up. And then when you talk about guys who we haven't seen or have been injured, I think you got to look at Tariq Cohen, whose name came up yesterday. Right. He remains on the physically unable to perform list. The ACL tear, guys, in his right knee was more than 14 months ago. Okay, that was week 3 at Atlanta last year. And that he's been an element in the offense that you were wondering if he could bounce back this year. He averaged 6.9 yards per touch in 2018. And that fell down to 4.8 yards per touch in 2020 in 2019 in the three games that he played last year. So you saw a different player offensively. I mean, he had nearly 1,200 scrimmage yards in 2018. And now, you know, Matt was asked about him yesterday, and the Bears have basically have given zero information in regards to Tariq other than he's working hard. And that'll be newsworthy the next time they tell us someone isn't working hard, right?
Right.
Yeah, you know, and that's not a dig at Tariq, but they've never once come out and say, yeah, well, you know, Johnny's kind of half-assing it the last couple weeks. So, yeah.
No.
Right?
No, so, no, nobody ever says that. Right. And, you know, Brad, they tried to replace him maybe with Jakeem Grant in that role and maybe the multiplicity of what he offers. But Tariq Cohen was somebody who gives you an element that you'd really never have replaced. The question I have, though, is it came up yesterday. He was asked directly about it. He's talked about it before. You're not doing him any favors by being vague in terms of how bad this really affected him. Because everyone would understand if you say, you know what, he had a setback.
He did have a setback, right? Obviously.
But they've been pretty
clearly
ambiguous.
Clearly. I mean, he's way over the timeline from some type of normal return. So you've got two options. Either one, there was a lot more wrong in the knee than just the ACL originally, or two, something didn't go right in the recovery process, so they had to go back in and do something. Either way, you've got a young player who can help you who hasn't been out there. They've been on the murky side of vague in terms of what's going on with them, and he's quickly running out of time to be able to evaluate him. Now, listen, I saw Tariq Cohen on the sideline in Detroit. You don't always take injured players for road trips. Maybe that's a small sign that he's getting close to being able to give it a go. I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily take that leap, but I'll just throw it out there as a possibility. I don't know that he's – and maybe he's been on most road trips, but it's sometimes it's challenging enough to track the guys that are in uniform and are going to play and not just the injured guys.
Brad, we had a very interesting conversation yesterday with Olin Krutz where he offered a couple of solutions or possible solutions for the team. You know, the challenge is scoring points, and in Olin's opinion, Matt Nagy had to fire himself as the offensive coordinator because that wasn't happening, and he's ready to move on from Bill Lazor because they're not scoring points. And he suggested Tom Herman, who is there and doing some scout work. I don't know what the hell he's doing, frankly, but he's one of the guys that's adding different plays to the mix. And I don't think that's going to happen. I just like the idea that Olin's thinking outside the box. He also liked the idea of Mike Patton coming down from upstairs and start working with the defensive backs. They got a serious problem trying to organize that defensive backfield, and he thinks that maybe you could get help from Patton. These are good solutions because the Bears seem to not try to address the problems they're having. They're just moving forward and pretending like everything's going to be okay. The whole what me worry element. What do you think of those ideas? Obviously, you know, I think they're high level ideas. I just don't know that it would actually happen.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they would want to pass along the play calling again. That would, as much as you could give Nagy credit for saying, hey, this guy's demoted himself and now he's showing that he'll look under every stone for a solution, it would also, I think, open the door for more criticism of him and what they've done offensively. And this is a guy who's, you know, he's turned over that offensive staff, guys. You go back to 2018 when he arrived. The wide receivers coach, Mike Furry's the only original guy still in place, right, in terms of position coaches or coordinators. So there's been guys that have been fired, and they, it's not like they had a Vic Fangio on offense that departed and then some guys left with them and they wished them well. Nagy was firing guys, okay? So I don't know that there's any more people for him to fire in terms of an offensive coach. And I agree. These are really interesting ideas and would show that there's a coach that's literally willing to try, you know, anything. Mike Pettin's been around the block an awful lot. They've been, and the Bears have been intentionally vague when asked about, well, what does Mike do? Like what are his job responsibilities in terms of helping out the defense and helping Sean Desai along, and that you ask those questions and you get extra vague answers. So maybe it's some more time with the defensive backs would help because they've had too many breakdowns. You know, they've had guys beat one-on-one on occasion, and we've seen that with Kendall Vildor, but way too many instances of just plays breaking down in the secondary this season.
Let's stick with the defense here for a second, Brad. Looking ahead to Sunday, who's next man up if Roquan Smith doesn't play? And what do you expect the Bears to do at the corner position? Is it going to be Artie Burns again, or are they going to watch the tape and think, well, we can't make that mistake again?
Yeah, I think an inside linebacker, you'll see Alec Ogletree is the player with the green dot helmet making the calls in the huddle. And then likely Christian Jones when they're in their base defense. Now you see that inside linebacker come off the field a great deal in the sub packages. The Bears mix it up at times, though. You'll see the Bears with two inside linebackers out there and be in their nickel because they will have removed a defensive lineman from the formation or the huddle. But I think by and large you're going to see more Ogletree, probably more of Christian Jones as well. And the cornerback spot, Artie Burns had the double move that he got beat on, guys.
Right. Yep.
But I thought after that he responded. Now, that Lions passing offense is awful. I mean, that wide receiver crew that they've got is by far the worst of the NFL. Like, I've had people tell me they've never seen a wide receiver group that bad in the National Football League. So degree of difficulty goes up this week, especially if DeAndre Hopkins, who's missed the last three games for the Cardinals, along with Kyler Murray, the quarterback, returns from a hamstring injury. Cliff Kingsbury, the Arizona coach, yesterday using the word hopeful that coming out of the bye, both of their big offensive players will be available.
Yeah, I mean, that is the worst news that you could have, frankly, if those guys are ready to go. And that's what happens usually when you're talking about a team coming off the bye week. Now, it didn't happen for the Bears, and we're still waiting for some of their highly paid players to be available. And I mean, I just think it's something to keep an eye on tomorrow when the injury report comes out for the first time. Both teams.
Right, and this is it's a big game for Arizona. The Cardinals are currently one game ahead of Green Bay, or a half game, I believe I should say, in the NFC for that top seed. And Green Bay beat Arizona. So any tie between those two teams, if it's a head-up tie, just the two of them, that's going to go to the Packers. So Arizona's a half game ahead. So with a win Sunday and the Packers on their bye this week, the Cardinals could move a game up on the competition in the NFC for that number one seed, which, as we know, is the only one that gets a bye in the playoffs. What's interesting, I looked at the Cardinals' schedule last night, guys, and this is the only cold weather game on the schedule for them this season. It looks like the early forecast is saying, mid to low 30s, I think, on Sunday.
Snow.
Along the lakefront.
So snow.
Unless it's... Snow?
Yeah, there's snow on Sunday morning, I think. I think that's in the forecast.
That lake effect stuff you get on the
Grant Miller said, I think, that it was snowing on Sunday morning. That is the early projection. We'll have to take a look. We'll have to get a look.
Okay. But now that could complicate things for the Cardinals a little bit, but let's not even waste our time with that whole bear weather BS. I mean, the Bears have proven they can be bad in all weather.
That's true.
They're an all-weather team.
But, Brad, are we worried about Cole Kmet's focus this week with Brian Kelly shocking domers everywhere with his big move to LSU?
How about that? Yeah. Now,
and by the way, apparently
was Notre Dame paying him? Like, what was he earning a year there? That's
a pretty good salary. But $10 million a year, $100 million 10-year deal, that's pretty good for LSU.
I mean, look, did LSU more than double his pay? More triple his pay? What did LSU do?
It's close to doubling, I believe. Yeah. I think that it's hard to know what he makes totally. I'm looking for the whole package here because they did come up.
Oh, he's out of the state school?
Yeah, I mean, it's also he's got a lot of other endorsement deals, I'm sure, that kick that up. But let me see, Notre Dame.
And Brad, by the way, you know, we told you that the Fire Nagy chant had taken place at Illinois. Apparently they were chanting at Notre Dame, Hire Nagy. That was one report, you know.
Hire Nagy.
Yeah, the idea that he was going to go from the Bears to Notre Dame. It's kind of...
See, I told you, you lean on folks in Champaign for a football idea, and you're going to get a bad one.
See, I think that's a Mizzou thing coming out in you, Brad. I think it's a Mizzou college bias against Illinois.
Dave, I am keeping it real. Although Bielema called out the previous recruiting that they had going on there and said that the depth chart was no bueno. And after his real talk, the line I won a couple games, so I'll give him credit for that.
Okay, and to answer your question, Notre Dame does not release figures about how much it pays its coaches, but footballscoop.com and other outlets have estimated around $7 million. So he's getting a pretty healthy raise if he goes from seven to 10.
So it's not like he just ran for the money. All right.
Yeah.
It's a lot of dough either way. Biggsy, thank you, buddy. Great catching up with you.
Good stuff, Brad.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.